Good morning, everybody. It's a slightly less hot day today, but nice to be out, isn't it? It's good to be together again. It's a privilege that we have as our church, that we come together without anybody watching us saying that we shouldn't be here. You know, we are a privileged community, which I think we all take for granted a bit. Just a few practical ones before we kick off this morning, particularly anybody who is a guest with us or hadn't been for a little while. Welcome to you, but also, so you're aware, down at the Soma Centre there are toilets. If you need them, anybody can go down there. What else have we got? We've got coming, Sally Petit is going to be leading us with worship this morning, which is always a real blessing. Sally and Chris are going to be doing that. They've been utterly brilliant this morning because we started off without any power this morning, and so it's been a little bit fraught, and they've been absolute heroes. And so, yeah, so that's going to be good. With the worship, there are QR codes, if you're not used to them here, where you can pick up the words, or there are some printed versions floating about. I think there's one or two left. We're really privileged in our church to have a vibrant youth group who do some brilliant things and are discovering God for themselves really kind of dynamically and dramatically and honestly. And we're really privileged that they will be coming, a couple of them, and just sharing a few things that they've been up to last weekend. Linda is going to be sharing a word with us this morning, which again is always a hugely powerful and humbling thing, because she just seems to connect into God's heart for us so powerfully, and so there's something to look forward to. At the end we will have tea and coffee. If you're a visitor, tea and coffee and Danish pastries will be brought out. I'll need to give a shout out to get some tray carriers, if that's all right. And we will have a bouncy castle at the end. So before we start, let's just open in prayer and just commit this time to our Lord, the God who just is so kind of profoundly visible in the creation that we see around us, the God that made it all, yet he wants to have a relationship and an intimate relationship with us. So let's pray. Oh Lord, you are the good shepherd. You are the source of all truth. We praise you for the power which is beyond compare. We worship you for your wisdom, which is beyond any of our understanding. You can meet all our needs. You restore the brokenhearted and you set the captives free. It's your promise. What a promise that is, Lord. You have revealed yourself to your people and you are building your church. Against the gates of hell, it will not prevail against your church because it is yours. Lord, fill our hearts this morning with love as we respond with open hearts to hear what you have to say to us. And our response in worship to you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We love you in your name. Amen. Right, before we kind of go into the main part of this morning, it's a bit of kind of family business and things we need to catch up on. And one of the things is there's a lady here by the name of Sue Kirby, who has been a part of our fellowship for as long as I can remember. Somebody who has served diligently and quietly and humbly, just got on with things. She's been a deacon. She's just done everything, really. So, Sue, thank you so much. This is Sue's last Sunday with us. She's going off to Devon to have a new life down there. And I know that there are a bunch of guys who are going to be just praying with Sue at the end. So if you follow Claire Green, I think probably at the end, and just it'd be good just to spend a few moments committing that Sue to the Lord and to her future, because Sue has blessed us so much, and I know that you will bless so many more people when you get down into wherever you end up worshipping. So thank you again, Sue, for everything that you've brought to us. Yeah, round of applause. Well, I was preparing kind of just to lead this morning. What I tend to do is to, if I'm doing something like that, is to try and find, seek God for a kind of a theme, a Bible verse, just so that I know a little bit of direction that he would have us kind of pursue towards him. And I came, in fact, on the morning I was doing it, the UCB notes, if anybody does them, popped up with Psalm 19, 28, and it says, I'm sad and tired. Make me strong again, as you have promised. And as I started to get the kind of bits of information about what was going on this morning and what had been happening in our church family this last week, I started to think actually probably wasn't an appropriate thing to bring. It seemed a bit, I don't know, downcast, as it were, just looking downwardly. But the more stuff came in, I realised it's exactly what we need to hear. Because if you have come this morning feeling that sense of being downcast, perhaps the exam results weren't perhaps all you'd wanted. Perhaps, yeah, life is just taking a pretty rubbish turn. Just being amongst God's people, where God is breaking out everywhere amongst this community in just incredible ways. Testimonies, if you just listen to what people are talking about amongst our church, God is doing incredible things. The promises of God are true every day. We know that, you know. And when Linda comes and speaks this morning, I know that she's going to be sharing a bit about prayer. But what we know is that God will respond and will engage with us if we engage with him. He doesn't set us adrift. He's a God who loves his children. And I just pray that even this morning you would have an open heart just to allow God to move in to the void that feels so dark at the moment. Lord, we thank you for this lady. Lord, I thank you for Linda. Lord, I just wonder whether we should change her name to Dara for a pearl of wisdom, because she is somebody who knows you. She is wise in knowing your word. She doesn't bring her own wisdom into anything. She just knows your heart. And Lord, I pray that this morning we would be soft to listen, that we would recognize that what she says comes from the very throne of the King. So Lord, bless her as she shares in your name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you this morning. The challenge is going to be not losing my notes, so bear with me if they fly across the ground at any point in time. Today we're going to be looking at the whole aspect of prayer, and it's something probably all of us know something about, and maybe we think we know quite a lot about it. But the challenge is not just about knowing what prayer is, it's about actually, are we doing it, and what stops us? I want to look a little bit today at these aspects about what is prayer. Why do we pray? How do we pray? And what are the barriers? What stops us from praying? Does that sound all right? Okay, so what is prayer? Well, we live with this amazing truth that the holy, almighty, and all-powerful God of the universe wants to interact with us. Can we just sit with that for a little bit of a minute? The fact that the God who made everything and made us wants to talk with us, wants to interact with us, and wants that communication with us. Our Bible tells us about who God is, but it's as we connect with God through prayer that we get to know him, and he gets to know us on a different level because we share our heart with him. Prayer, in its very simplest form, is how we communicate with God. Not only can we talk to him, but he promises in Scripture that he will communicate back with us. In James 4, it says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. He desires relationship with us, and that's why he made us. And the foundation of every strong relationship is communication. And prayer is exactly that. It's our way of communicating and therefore relating with God. But why should we pray? Well, there's one primary reason I want to look at. There's a few more as well. But the primary reason is because Jesus did it. Jesus came to show us how to live. And part of that way was prayer. And we see snapshots throughout his life of when he prayed. So before launching into public ministry, he fasted and prayed for 40 days. Before choosing his disciples, he prayed all night. When he heard about his cousin John being executed, he withdrew to a solitary place to pray. After feeding the 5,000, he was exhausted but chose to withdraw up a mountain to pray. And when the pressures of fame threatened to crush him, he prayed. When he was facing his own death in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. And even after excruciating pain and torture, he cries out to the one who had apparently forsaken him. Still, he prays. Then after his death and his resurrection, he commands his disciples to follow his example, and they gather together constantly in prayer. I think the disciples saw something about how Jesus interacted with the Father that made them ask this question, Lord, teach us to pray. I think that came from seeing something of how Jesus was. And they said, I want a relationship like you do. Can we have that relationship that you have with the Father? And Jesus said, yes. And he taught them the Lord's Prayer. And Archbishop Justin Welby says, the Lord's Prayer is simple enough to be memorized by small children, yet profound enough to sustain a whole lifetime of prayer. And if you haven't or weren't part of us at the time, but we've actually done a series on the Lord's Prayer, which is on YouTube, if you do want to look at this a bit more. But we can safely say that if prayer was important to Jesus, then it should be important to us. Jesus prays and he asks us to pray too. Another reason is that it grows our relationship and our trust with God. You know, as we've said, prayer is our way to communicate with God. And God wants us to communicate with him because he desires relationship with us. He loves us and he loves it when we talk with him. Scripture says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. He wants us to interact with him. He's a father who cares about every aspect of our life. Isaiah 65 says, before they call, I will answer, and while they're still speaking, I will hear. God's desire is that we pray and we learn to trust him when we pray, so that when we pray, we're not just asking for what we want, but we are willing to trust him with whatever the outcome. We're willing to trust him when he says no. We're willing to trust him when he says not yet, and trust that God is always working for our good. And surely it kind of stands to reason that the one who made the universe might see things slightly differently to us. Scripture does say his ways are not our ways. Therefore, though he hears our prayers, he might decide, actually, there's a better way. There's something else I want for you. There's something else I want to do through you. He sees the bigger picture rather than our own limited view. So sometimes we have to surrender ourselves to the will of God, not just when it makes sense and feels good, but when it makes no sense at all and it even hurts us deeply. There's no bigger prayer than to pray this, God, I have no idea what you're doing, but I trust you. Another reason why we should pray is that actually stuff happens when we pray. Scripture is clear that God listens and acts in response to prayer. The Bible teaches that prayers are vastly powerful. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says we're to pray for God's kingdom to come on earth. That's heaven to come on earth. That is a big prayer. That's not a small prayer. We've not to keep our prayers small and possible. We have to pray the impossible, because when we pray the impossible, we're recognizing we can't do this, God, only you can. And prayer can help us overcome. When Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before his death, he asks his disciples to pray with him. And he says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There is strength we gain through prayer that keeps us standing, even in the face of difficulty and temptation. There's also power in the testimony of answered prayer. You know, if we pray vague prayers, the likelihood is we're going to get vague answers, and then do we really know if it's God or not? But if we pray specific prayers that receive specific answers, it acts as a powerful testimony. In Revelation, it tells us that by the blood of Jesus and the power of our testimony, so that's by Jesus' death on the cross and our testimony, the enemy is defeated. Get that? He's defeated by what Jesus has done and by the power of our testimony. So how do we pray? Well, there's very few rules, as you probably all know. We can pray anytime, anywhere, about anything. But there are some things that can help. And these are to keep it simple, to keep it honest, to keep it in line with Scripture, and to persevere. So with keeping it simple, Anne Lamott simplifies it right down, and she would argue you only ever need three words. Okay, so anybody who struggles with prayer, you only need three words, and these words are help, thanks, and wow. Okay? So let's not make it complicated or make it weird. It's not the words or our eloquence of speech that's important. It's about sharing our heart with God. Keep it honest. Again, Anne Lamott says, my belief is that when you're telling the truth, you're close to God. If you say to God, it's all hopeless and I don't have a clue if you exist, but I could use a hand, it actually might bring tears to God's eyes, tears for the courage it takes for us to be honest and us to be real, really real. And we see this honesty in the book of Psalms, so many prayers that are gut-wrenchingly honest, where the psalmist pours out his heart to God. And I love this in Psalm 55. This is the NASB version. It says, evening, morning, and at noon, I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice. Brilliant, isn't it? Even when we're complaining and murmuring to God, when we wouldn't actually listen to each other with that, God's listening and he hears us because he cares for us. And we need to keep it in line with Scripture. So it's important to check that what we are actually praying for is consistent and in line with his purpose, which we find in Scripture. So the question we should ask ourselves when we're praying for something is, would Jesus ask for this? So if we're praying for a Bugatti, as my kids would probably do, would Jesus be asking for that? The likelihood is probably no. So actually, what are we praying? Are we praying things that Jesus is saying, yes, this is on my heart too? Sometimes, rather than rushing in to pray as well about our desire, we need to stop long enough to ask Jesus, what's your desire? What are you doing in this situation? Is there a bigger picture here that I just can't see? Prayer is not just about speaking, but it's about listening. So sometimes the best way to start praying is actually to stop praying, to pause, to be still, to put down our prayer list and our own personal agenda and listen. To stop talking at God long enough to focus on the wonder of who he actually is. Then from that place, rather than petitioning God with our wants and needs, we can stop long enough to begin to see things from his perspective and pray in line with his spirit. And keep persevering. You know, prayer is not a slot machine where we just key in our requests and expect God to answer. God is not here to serve us, but we are here to serve him. And if we know we're praying in line with Jesus and his word, we find there's a reward for prayerful persistence. When children ask their parents for things, and we've all either been children or have children, they persist, they pester, they plead, they keep going on and on and on. Does anybody else have kids like that, or is it just me? And they keep going because they really, really want something. And it shows their heart, it shows their desire that they don't want to give up. Matthew 7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door is opened. The ask, seek and knock here are actually asking, seeking, knocking. They are consistent. They keep going. It's not just a one-off. Sometimes we might still not get what we desire, even though we're praying and praying something that we think is on God's heart. But actually, through the act of prayer, we somehow draw closer to God and he comes into greater focus in our lives. So what are the barriers? What things stop us praying? If prayer can be reduced to three simple words, why do we find it sometimes so hard to pray? Now, this is not exhaustive, and none of this morning is exhaustive. It's just a very quick look at prayer. But one area I would like to suggest to you is the problem isn't actually with the act of praying. It's with God, and it's with our view of God. So what do I mean? Well, just for a moment, I'd like you all just to close your eyes. Kids, you can do this too. And I want to think that you're just about to start praying. And I want you to think about God as you're praying. How would you address him? Do you address him as God? Do you speak to Jesus? Do you speak to the Father? And where is he? Is he close? Is he beside you? Does he feel that he's listening and attentive? Or does he feel a distant God that is somewhere out there and not really interested, not really caring? Okay, you can open your eyes again. Sometimes it's important to check how we relate to God as our Father. Because sometimes our view of our Heavenly Father is affected by our own earthly father. So if we've had a father that has been distant or cold or authoritarian or abusive, we sometimes project those things onto God as Father. And if we do that, would anybody want to be with him, a God like that? Well, no, none of us would want to pray to a God like that. But that is not who God is. Jesus states this. He says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus is the exact representation to the Father. And I find a lot of people who find it hard to relate to God as Father can relate to Jesus because Jesus came in bodily form. And we understand him as a man. So we can relate more to him. But he wants us to know that he is the exact representation of the Father. There's a story that Jesus tells about the prodigal son, which we probably all know, about a son who basically takes his father's inheritance and goes off and squanders it, and he's left with nothing. And he's eating pig swill, and he's kind of thinking, if I go back to my father, I know at least I could be possibly a hired hand. I don't have to even go back into his home, but I could work for more than what I'm doing now. So he goes back home. But he's not met with a father that gives him the riot act or is cold with him or distant with him. He's met with a father that runs towards him, that embraces him, that holds this massive party for him, that says, you're still my son and I still love you and you're still part of me. The Father always comes running to us. When we pray, that's not just a story about a prodigal son. That's about us when we pray. The Father is attentive to us. So whenever we approach, wherever we've been, and whatever we've done, we need to remember God is for us. God is for us 100% on our side. And the deeper we understand and rest in our identity as clearly loved children, as dearly loved children, to a loving, caring, kind, and generous Father, the greater our desire to spend time with him in prayer. We will want to tell him everything and dare to ask him anything, because we know we are loved and accepted by the best father there ever can be. So the first barrier can be our view of God. The second barrier is remembering we're in a spiritual battle. There's a story in the Old Testament about Daniel, who was a great man of God, and he'd been praying for his people. And he'd been praying for 3 weeks, and then an angel appears. And the angel basically says, I'm really sorry I'm late. God heard your prayer, and I was released the moment that you started praying. But I got into a bit of bother with the prince of Persia, and I was waylaid, and then the angel Michael had to come and join me as well. And now I'm finally here. Now, it all sounds a little bit far-fetched and a little bit over the top. But we've got to remember there's a spiritual battle going on. And sometimes God has released the answer and he has said yes. But there's spiritual stuff happening. And we've got to keep praying and praying through. Otherwise, maybe things aren't going to happen. And the third barrier I just want to quickly look at is disappointment. You know, sometimes no matter how heartfelt or in line with scripture our prayers seem, it may feel like God hasn't heard or he just doesn't care and it just goes unanswered. And when God doesn't seem to answer, this is what happens. We begin to doubt who he is. Pete Gregg talks about it in his book, How to Pray, and he says this, when we go through times of struggle and suffering, we often choose to isolate ourselves. We pull away from people and often God. And in that place of darkness, we question the love and goodness of God. We don't understand why he hasn't stepped in or changed the situation, and therefore we doubt his power. Then when we doubt his power, we downgrade our expectations in an attempt to protect ourselves from the heartache of dashed hopes. But Jesus shows us another way. In the darkest hour before his death, he calls out and surrenders to the Father. You know, no matter how hard it is to keep trusting when our deepest, most desperate prayers go unanswered, dismissing or walking away from God isn't the answer. More than any other times, it's at this moment, these moments, that we need to actively choose to keep holding on to God, and he will keep holding on to us. And he'll show us things and grow us in ways that we never thought possible. You know, many of you know John, who was my husband, and you know that he died of motor neurone disease. And many of us prayed, many of us fasted, many of us chose to believe that he could be healed. And yet he wasn't. And I still don't have answers for those questions, but I do know that he's grown me. I do know that he's grown my boys, and I've seen many of you change and grow as well because of what God has done through it. We won't always get answers to stuff, But God doesn't change. He's still a God who loves us. He's still a kind, loving, and generous God. And we have to trust him, hold on to his hand with the bigger picture. And the other time that prayers go unanswered is actually when we've never prayed them. You know, sometimes because of disappointment, we just stop praying and then things stop happening. Archbishop William Temple was, he said, when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I stop praying, the coincidences stop happening. So if we do want to see answers to prayers, we do have to pray them. And I just want to finish with a story about Gladys Aylward, who was a missionary in China during the war in 1938. And she was trying to cross the Yellow River with 100 children. And there was no way over. And she was just at a loss as to what to do. And one of the children said to her, "Do you remember when God parted the Red Sea and Moses and the Israelites all got safely across?" And Gladys nodded. And the girl said, "So do you believe it?" "Of course I do," she replied. "I wouldn't teach you anything that I didn't believe." "Then why don't we go across?" she asked simply. And that shocked Gladys. She says, "But I'm not Moses." And the girl said, "No, but God is still God." You know, there are times that we may wonder, who am I that God would listen to me? But the question is not, who am I? The question is, who God is. And God doesn't change. He cares about you. He made you. He's interested in your life. And he wants to hear your prayers. So to sum up, let's remember, prayer is communication with God. It's not transactional, but relational. We pray because Jesus did. It grows our relationship and trust with him, and stuff happens when we pray. Let's keep it simple. Let's keep it honest. Let's keep it in line with scripture and persevere. And remember, how you view God will affect how you relate to him. But Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. And the truth is that he wants to spend time with us, even more than we want to spend time with him. So whenever we approach, he's already waiting, with his arms open wide, ready to accept and listen to us. And I just pray. Father, I thank you that you have made prayer so accessible, that it isn't about going through anybody else, but we can come directly to you. And thank you that you accept us just as we are, in any way, with any prayer. But you just want us to be close to you. And I just pray for anybody this morning that struggles in this whole aspect of feeling that they're worthy to come before you, that they feel that they have no right to be before you. Lord, would you remove that lie and replace it with the truth that through the blood of Jesus, we all have a right to come before your throne, and you accept every single one of us. And Father, if our view of you is wrong, if we think of you as that distant Father, Lord, would you help us to see again what that lie is and replace it with the truth that you love us dearly, that you are kind and caring and a generous Father who wants to give everything to us. And you just love it when we come into your presence. So Lord, help us even today to take time out in our day, even just for those three words of prayer. Lord, even if it's just that thought, but to take time to pray and to recognize who we pray to. In Jesus' name, amen.